Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 19, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after the break for non-members, my full review of the latest Ring of Honor television show. This particular Ring of Honor television show was filmed June 24th in Lowell, Massachusetts at the Memorial Auditorium. It is the second show that they taped coming out of the Best in the World pay-per-view, and so they opened things up with new ROH champion Cody. He delivered a promo. First, we ended up hearing that Christopher Daniels was supposed to appear on the show. The broadcast team of Ian Riccaboni and Colt Cabana saying that he had said some things that ROH management deemed inappropriate. Cabana even pointed out that Daniels was ripping on the fans of Ring of Honor. And so it does look like Christopher Daniels is back to being a heel. And I don't know what that makes Cody. We did get footage of him pinning Daniels at the Best in the World pay-per-view to win the championship. Cody was heelish, but he didn't heel on the fans, if that makes sense. He was cocky. He was still arrogant. The fans were chanting, "You deserve it." And he says, "I do deserve it, don't I?" And he thanked them for their raucous and generous ovation. Talked about how the prince had become the king, and we march on everybody. And he brought up Daniels, who was booed by this crowd, and Cody said that Daniels is walking around with a classic boo-boo face, and he said it's as if he lost his smile. And he told the camera to look at his smile, and he said that that he had six stitches in his lip, and he said that it's because he wrestles every weekend, every night, in and out, and it isn't exclusively for Ring of Honor. He said that he has yet to sign an ROH contract, and then he said Sinclair Broadcasting no longer holds this title. They don't own anything. He said the Rhodes family owns this title. Then he said he's self-aware enough to know that he has critics who don't feel like he fits the Honor style. And Riccaboni kind of chirped in on commentary that he was one of those critics. Cody suggested a rematch with Daniels, best of three falls this time around. And he said ROH's discord with him is amazing because I am steroid-free full-time and I am the world champion. And that was how he closed out the promo. So again, interesting that Cody didn't heel on the fans here. He's been doing that. It's one of the things I enjoyed about him being part of Bullet Club. You have the Young Bucks kind of doing their thing. They don't heel on anybody. They're just out there two-sweeting, and it works for them. Where Cody was out there trying to get consistent heat. And now that I think things have flipped here with Daniels, it makes sense that he's not taking that approach, but he's still being true to his persona. And I guess we just have to kind of wait and see how this thing unfolds with he and Kenny Omega, if Cody's the one who's going to end up going full-fledged babyface, if it's going to be Omega. But interesting that Cody's the one who wants the best of three falls match. Disappointed that we didn't get to see the Daniels promo. I don't know if it didn't come out the way they wanted, or if it's something they're going to air on a future broadcast. But you would think if they're going to go heel with him, it's something we're going to need to see. And if they're going to wait until the next round of television to air, it's still going to be a while. The broadcast team did hype the opening match, and they went to a commercial following the Cody segment. When they came back, we got that opening match, and it was Punishment Martinez beating Jonathan Gresham. Competitive match. Gresham targeting the knee of Martinez, and Martinez ended up coming back and getting the win with a power move, but Gresham got a lot of offense here. He's one of those guys that they recently announced as signing. Flip Gordon was the other, and so he's with the company. They really haven't found a role for him. He's just in that weird Motor City Machine Guns clique of they're the mentors to all these younger guys, and it doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. Martinez, you can tell they have plans for him, or at least they want to, and they want to do big things with him. They've given him vignettes lately. His main program is with Jay White, and so even if White beats him, Martinez freaks out afterwards and beats the hell out of him, that sort of a thing. So they're trying to take care of him. I'm just not sure if they know exactly what to do with him yet. I'm also not sure if he can cut much of a promo. He hasn't said a whole lot. And watching this, it just kind of hit me again. Ring of Honor would be wise if they really do have big plans for Punishment Martinez. Bring in the Sinister Minister, Jim Mitchell. He was just on the recent Impact Wrestling, Global Force Wrestling Slammiversary show. To the best of my knowledge, he's not actually signed with them because he didn't work the television tapings that followed. And so he's out there. And boy, I would think he would be Number one, a really good mouthpiece, but also he would fit with the character of Punishment Martinez. So something that I think ROH should consider. But, you know, the right guy went over here. Gresham puts up a fight. I hope they find something for Gresham soon. It just, you know, he filled in when I think it was Chris Sabin or Alex Shelley was injured, teaming with the other. And they haven't found a real role for him yet. He's just a guy who looks competitive in these undercard matches. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. I know he beat Flip Gordon. I believe he did. Was that last week? It all runs together after a while, folks. But talented guy. Hopefully they'll find something for him, and Flip Gordon, for that matter, who's been really impressive. Then we had footage airing from backstage at the Best in the World pay-per-view. Bully Ray was storming past, I didn't catch who it was, a female interviewer. He went into his locker room where Mark and Jay Briscoe were arguing. This was after they lost the six-man tag titles to Dalton Castle and the boys. Bully tried to calm the brothers down. Mark told Jay he was useless in the match. Bully said it was Jay's fault that they lost. Jay was obsessed with the boys. And Bully then pointed out, though, that it was Mark who was actually pinned. And he said they worry about themselves and you forgot about us. And he said that they win together and they lose together. So Bully is kind of the voice of reason here for now. Watching this, you know, I've been kind of waiting. All right, it seems like they're falling apart. And so where do we go with this? Is Bully going to eventually turn on the brothers? It's too much for him, and, you know, he's a really good heel. He's also a good babyface. Are they going to flip the Briscoes at this point? Are they going to split them up completely? I'm not quite sure. One thought that crossed my mind, that things are falling apart for them, but the three of them actually go heel. So you're not necessarily getting Bully feuding with the Briscoes, but rather you're kind of getting them as a trio, where Bully's kind of feeding some of this. Yeah, he's saying the right things in front of the camera, but maybe they catch him kind of adding some fuel to the fire or something like that. Just a thought, because I would like to see Bully become more involved as a singles rather than just these three focusing on the six-man titles. And for that matter, I think Jay Briscoe certainly belongs in the singles picture as well. One other thing about this, I like the backstage footage from the pay-per-view. I wish there was a way that ROH would fit this in. There's nothing they can do about the show that airs the same weekend as the pay-per-view, obviously. But that next one, I think they did a good job this time of making it timely, because they had a Cody interview that was cut off, and he had the ROH title with him, and so it looked like, you know, they were able to say new ROH champion, even though this was filmed, it had been filmed before that match took place, so they were clever about it, and I like that. But why not get some footage from the pay-per-view? You know, do some backstage interviews and angles like this one, just to air on that first show. Leave enough space in there. I don't know about their production schedule, if it's possible, but I just know, growing up as a younger fan, watching AWA programming, when they would have shows at the Civic Center, my favorite shows were the next week. If I couldn't go to the show, I wanted to watch the television show, because they would have interviews from backstage at the Civic Center. And sometimes the newspaper would run the results of the show. There was no such thing as the internet then, so you had to, but most of the time you had to wait until Saturday, Sunday morning, whenever that show was, to actually find out who won, and then you get some of the backstage interviews. And I love that. And I think with ROH being a syndicated show, I think it would work really well to take that type of approach, you know, just because, so you avoid some of the delay. It would be a little trickier from a production standpoint. And if scheduling wise, they can't do it, if they need to have the show in before that would even be possible, I understand. But I don't think it would take much work for them to, you know, an extra, hour? Not even, half hour of quick interviews backstage, insert some of them, the ones you like, into the show. I'd like to see that. We also had a Mandy Leon promo. She was standing in front of the Ring of Honor banner, and she announced that there's going to be a Women of Honor episode in 2 weeks. Silas Young showed up and said, "No one cares about women's wrestling," and this is so true to his character, I got a kick out of it. He told her to make herself useful, and he had her hold his workplace injury sign that he has for Jay Lethal, and he changed the number of days to 22 since Jay Lethal has been injured. And then after Silas walked away, Mandy said, "A lot of people care about women's wrestling," and she hyped the episode again. I'm happy to hear we're getting another Women of Honor episode. I don't know why we don't see more of these. You know, that's something they can do with those gap shows too. I'd like to see them air that the weekend that the pay-per-view is running. But, you know, those gap shows have been better lately. I don't want to sound like I'm coming down too much on those gap shows. They've definitely improved in that area. But you know, maybe I think the Women of Honor thing, I think they'd really like to get Sinclair to sign off or somebody to pick up a complete Women of Honor television series. At this point, I just say, you know what, make the women a regular part of the show. I think there's a way to do that. I mean, maybe I don't really know what purpose the Women of Honor specials, what purpose there is even at this point, because they just run them so sporadically that you don't really get a feel for the storylines. There's a lot of turnover in talent by then. And, you know, quite frankly, I've said this before about Ring of Honor. I think it's helpful to have some women on the show so it's not like one big sausage fest. I think a little sex appeal for, you know, a lot of the male viewers would be helpful. And, you know, I think with women's wrestling, it's not even just the sex appeal part of it. It's women's wrestling is really clicking right now. And, you know, I think they have some talented women at their disposal. Why not incorporate them into the weekly television show? Second match of this show, though, was the Tempura Boys losing to Cheeseburger and Joey Daddiago. Cheeseburger, I'm a defender of Cheeseburger. I get a kick out of the gimmick, and it's just kind of a fun undercard thing, and the fans do react to it. But this palm strike that he learned from Jushin Liger that he uses as a finisher, really corny. And I know there's aspects of the Cheeseburger character that I like that are certainly cornball too, but I hate seeing the Tempura Boys just completely wasted in Ring of Honor, and that's what's happening. He hit the move on Yo and pinned him, and then after the match, they had two planted female fans wearing Cheeseburger gear jump the barricade and try to carry him backstage. Like, all right. That's when ROH security intervened. One of the security guards turned out to be Will Ferrara, and he attacked Cheeseburger. Still bitter with him for I don't even remember what, just their failed tag team, I guess. And he worked over Cheeseburger at ringside and then talked smack until Joey Diego ran back and chased him away. So the Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara program lives on. And I, you know, continue to hope they're going to do something with Will Ferrara, but really it just seems like this is it. You know, he's facing Cheeseburger and nothing more. We're not really seeing him outside of this program. Then after a commercial break, we had Rick Abani announce that Kushida will defend the ROH TV title against Jay White on next week's show. Looking forward to that. And then we ended up with some footage from the pay-per-view of Kushida beating Marty Skrull to retain the title at Best in the World. And then it was main event time, and it was the team of Hangman Page and the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, defeating Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, and Bully Ray. This was originally billed as a title match, but of course the title actually changed hands the night before this show was taped, and so with the titles not at stake, the Bucks and Page go over. It was entertaining. They did a good job in this, and they also played into the frustration more of the Briscoes. What happened is late in the match, you had Bully and the Briscoes hit their Super 3D finisher on Hangman Page, but referee Todd Sinclair had been bumped. Paul Turner, another referee, ran out, and he ended up counting two and then being pulled to ringside by the Bucks. I don't know why that's not a disqualification, but it wasn't. The Bucks then ended up trying to super kick Bully Ray and Mark at ringside, and instead accidentally they moved and they both super kicked the second referee. Jay set up for to hit the Jay Driller finisher on Page, but Marty Skrull ran out and hit him from behind with an umbrella, and then Page recovered, and or actually Page covered Jay, and referee Todd Sinclair recovered and made the three count, and so the Bucks go over here. And then afterward, Jay Briscoe ended up throwing a chair at the ring post. Mark grabbed a security member and threw him down. And that's interesting because all the frustration over the top stuff had been with Jay, who was so bitter with the boys for costing him a match, and Mark had been kind of playing the voice of reason. Well, now you have Mark tossing a security guard, grabbing another one, tossing him as well into the mat at ringside. Jay grabbed a security guard, tossed him into the barricade. Bully Ray's just standing there with no expression on his face, just kind of watching these two melt down, not really selling it. You know, the lack of expression basically just said frustration. So he's doing a good job on his end, and the broadcast team, by the way, hyped that Kushida and Jay White match for the TV title for next week to close things out. So I don't know where they're going with the Briscoes and Bully, but it's making for good television. It was, I would say, one of the more notable moments on this show. There wasn't a lot to this. I mean, Cody's promo was fine, and you know, we found out that he wants to defend the title in a best of three falls match. I'm guessing, but I don't. Well, I was gonna say I thought that was gonna be maybe that'd be the Liverpool pay per view. They're doing a UK a show in the UK or the World show on. The Saturday of SummerSlam weekend, and it's going to air on Fight TV and the ROH website, so it's like an online pay-per-view for like $20, $19.99, I think is the cost. And so I was thinking it was going to be there, but I believe they've already announced it's going to be Cody defending against Sonata instead. So I'm not sure where that best of three falls comes into play. Maybe it's something they do on television because they don't have, they didn't announce their next pay-per-view date at the end of Best in the World. So I don't know that there's an actual, you know, regular pay-per-view coming up. So I'm not quite sure when that Best of Three Falls match is going to take place. But so that was, you know, semi-newsworthy. Nothing really newsworthy about Martinez getting the better of Jonathan, or, you know, pinning Jonathan Gresham. Nothing particularly newsworthy about the Tempura Boys losing to Cheeseburger and Daddy Ego. And then, so it was really just kind of the main event. And this week, it kind of feels like things are on hold right now as far as some of the top storylines are concerned. It doesn't feel like they're turning the page coming out of Best in the World. We're still getting Cody and Daniels, and we're still apparently getting Lethal and Jay Lethal and Silas Young. You know, I guess the Briscoes and Bully are doing their thing. But there's not much else really new happening. And this was a better show than last week where it was really dull. There just really wasn't much going on at all, which was surprising because it was the first night or the first show coming out of the pay-per-view. So they didn't really take advantage of that. This was better, but still just kind of, you know, things are moving slowly right now as they keep a lot of these feuds intact. But that's going to do it for today, everybody. Be sure to check back tomorrow. Please note, I mentioned that we are doing the 2 for $20 on a regular basis for our Raw and SmackDown coverage. And if you're like, hey, where's that today? I may still be at the ballpark when you're hearing this. I'm going to the Minnesota Twins and Yankees game at Target Field. And so just was not able to get together with a staff member to do that style of a review for SmackDown. But we will certainly be doing that in the future. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, check out the Raw 2 for 20 audio that Jake Barnett and I did on Monday to get a feel for that. And for that matter, please take a moment, subscribe to our daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that takes those types of reviews. It is greatly appreciated when you do that because you are helping spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. Take care.